Welcome back. It's The Drive with Matthew, Jimmy, and Chuck on ESPN Sports Radio 1300 and 92.5. We are brought to you by Dan Cummins in Paris and Georgetown. Hit it.
Well, my favorite time of the week. My favorite segment of the entire week, every week.
Some normalcy, you know?
Well, it's... I can't help how I feel. That's just the way it is. Hi, Caroline.
Hi, guys.
Caroline Darney. My favorite. And I think Sean and Jimmy's... What was that? Sorry?
I said, what's going on?
Oh, nothing.
Just hanging out.
For the first time in 3 weeks, we are in our studio as opposed to Sean's house. And it's kind of interesting. Being back here.
Yeah, it's weird.
I don't like it either.
Because Bronte's...
So safe? Are you guys keeping 6 feet between you all?
Yes, we are. And there are very few people around anywhere downtown here or in the building. But
it's tough, though, because my dog is what keeps us 6 feet apart. She's a 115-pound German Shepherd and stretches out between us.
Yeah, so we kind of have to really... Step it off.
Yeah.
Wait, are you 2 yards away from me? Anyway, you can. I always say this. You can follow her on Twitter at CW Darney, DARNEY, and it's the best follow on Twitter. Is that how you say it? I'm not kidding. I am not kidding. First of all, on my Facebook memory thing this morning, I sent it to you. Popped up. From a year ago, the front page of the Washington Post. Who's laughing now, or who's looking at you, or whatever it said?
Oh, Chuck's article.
Chuck's article.
Culpepper's article.
Yeah, Culpepper's article. And so we'll start there, still the national champions, and will be for another year. And so congratulations. Yes.
Yeah, it was fun. It was a nice thing to kind of go back and look at some of the stories posted from a year ago. And honestly, I mean, that's something that, you know, for our site, we would have been doing anyway because it is still the 1 year, and regardless of, you know, the current, you know, gestures wildly at the entire, you know, existence of what's happening. yeah, it's cool to go back. We did a Twitch event last night with Ty Jerome, rewatched some of the big, you know, parts of the game in the championship game, did a little Q&A with him. Look back on like what that game was like, what the lead up was, what the not fallout, but the celebration and all that good stuff. So it's cool to, like, you know, we asked some of the people that follow the Streaking the Lawn account to send us their pictures of swag and stuff that they hung. And so it was really cool kind of looking back. And it was a big deal, as much as we joke week in, week out about, you know, still champs, they're reminding you, you know, I'm legally required to mention it, that sort of thing. It was a big deal for the program. I mean, I think everyone knows how important and validating winning a national championship was, but also, you know, you following what happened with UMBC and the people saying that, you know, Bennett style would never work, that they could never win a title. It was such a big moment to see all that stuff kind of hopefully fade away. Although I joked this year that the 2019-2020 team was actually that style was what they had in mind when they were complaining about Virginia. Yeah. They should have waited, kept that in the holster, because there were times this season where it was a little tough to watch.
But look how it worked out. I mean,
yeah, they stayed champs.
There you go.
I'm kidding.
No, nobody wanted it for that. But
games,
this is how it worked out, and they were playing very well at the end of the year. So, you know. As we all know, anything can happen in that tournament. So we will choose, because of how we feel about you, we will always choose to think that they would have repeated this year. And nobody can say no.
They're going for the three-peat. They're going for three-peat next year.
Sweet. Nice.
What if Virginia only wins national championships from here on out? Either there's no tournament or they just win. What would happen?
Right?
People would love that, right? People would love it.
Yeah, they would. I have no doubt, because Tony Bennett is, well, he actually is one of my favorite coaches. And
he's great.
He is great. Let's talk for a minute before we get into the important part of this conversation, which is Marvel movies and something on Twitter that you tweeted that I have no idea what you're talking about.
I'm going to change your life.
Yes, okay.
Your life.
Oh,
you're
great.
Welcome in advance.
Okay, all right, thanks. We have a lot of guys, as happens this time of year, declaring for the NBA draft from all over the place. These names, three quarters of them, I have no idea who they are. You probably do because this is what you do best. You're, you know, college basketball coverage at its finest. But anything jump out at you about what's going on now with college basketball?
The biggest thing, and this is not at all surprising, I think, so I don't know if it's fair to say it jumps out, but the kind of chill nature of what normally right now would be a really dramatic stretch. Maybe that's because it's been, you know, guys making choices over the last 3 weeks when normally we would have had much more action and, you know, that sort of thing. There's guys that are saying they're going to test the waters that, you know, have to add a sentence that's kind of like, if there is any water to test, because I think that's what's changed the whole dynamic of this off season. I mean, it's been changed, I guess. What keeps it staying changed, I don't know, that's English, right? is the idea that, like, these guys don't even know. So if there's someone like, you know, take, for instance, Jay Huff, he's going to, quote-unquote, test the waters, but there, we don't know what that entails now. Like, there's not the same type of setup and situation in which you know that a guy's going to go a certain week, get feedback, come back to school, like that sort of thing. And then these players don't know necessarily, because I think in a lot of instances, this was a draft where people expected a lot more guys that maybe would have been a borderline leave early to leave early, because this isn't as strong of a draft class as maybe you had, I don't know, last year with guys like Zion and RJ and Cam and DeAndre Hunter, and, you know, like, list all of these phenomenal players.
Right.
So this was expected to be maybe a little bit, quote-unquote, easier of a draft. So, like, if there was a guy that was borderline that wouldn't have been drafted last year, this is a year that they could go and potentially get picked up. But in the same vein, like, we don't know what that means. So maybe the safer bet is they continue just training and stay for another year and try and see if there's a better picture of what the NBA looks like next year. But then we don't even know if college basketball is going to start on time.
That's true.
It's been so weird for me. There hasn't been any, I think, real surprising departures.
Yet.
I mean, like, it's one of those, like, Cole Anthony hasn't even said he's leaving yet. We all know he's leaving. But it's one of those things. Like, normally there'd be a much more, you know, you'd expect these big announcements and this big fanfare, but I think people just kind of realize that, honestly, it's not super important right now. And I don't mean that in a demeaning way. Like, it is important what they decide to do with the rest of their lives, but when it comes down to, like, they're
the
concerned about
picture,
their families, they're concerned about their own safety, they're concerned about staying in shape and, like, what that means and how they can do it responsibly without endangering other people. Posting a really fancy, important Instagram isn't really top of the list right now, and that's understandable.
I think I happen to disagree with you. I think Cole Anthony is really weighing whether he wants to take advantage of the brilliant academics that are there and in that hellhole. Yes,
look,
I'm sorry. That's right. That's how I feel.
Well, what's it? O'Connell. Another thing I think is actually the transfer market. I think has been more interesting.
Yes,
but that's just kind of like what I think we had a general idea of who was staying, who was going. There wasn't like a really dramatic. That's what I mean. Like, this year didn't feel as much like a this person if they decide to go. I think everyone was felt a little more clear cut. So I think it's really interesting. The people, like, where they're going, who's getting picked up where, and that sort of thing that's kind of taken over. You know, like, Alex O'Connell's going to Creighton, I think, and you're looking at, you know, who was the tape that decommitted from Duke and then recommitted within, like, 24 hours?
Yes.
Decommitted within 24 hours, was a freelancer for, you know, however many
minutes,
hours. And then came back to Duke.
Right.
Yeah. And, I mean, like, Matt Harms
now
is
that's
a huge transfer.
That's the big thing.
Like, that's what I'm excited about. Yeah.
Right. Especially around here.
Yeah.
Because within a second of that announcement being made, everybody here, well, he's going to change whatever program he goes to. But here, if EJ leaves and Nick leaves, you know, if this and that, if he set foot on this campus and played at Rupp, it would change this team dramatically for next year.
100%.
So, yeah. So,
yeah. And the team, he almost has any, the pick of the litter.
I saw
and honestly, tape going back to Duke, I think, was big because that filled a need there.
Right.
Thank goodness.
They said Harms, within 2 hours, had 25 schools had called him already.
Yeah. Not and bad. That was just, mm-hmm. I think it was something that, like, those are the ones that had texted him because he wasn't still sure about, like, some of the calls that he had missed.
Yeah.
So there were, like, still so many other, like,
yeah.
Good Lord. I just, you know, I can't have that hair in a Duke uniform and see, like, I just can't deal with those together. You can't go to Duke. I heard Syracuse thrown out there. You know, that's one of those, like, can you imagine him as the shot blocker in the back of the zone?
I think he's going to Northern Iowa. That's where I think he'll go.
He's a UNI guy.
Yeah, big UNI.
I'm totally fine with that.
Yeah.
No, and he's immediately eligible, because that was my first question, was like,
right.
Isn't he like 45? Like, he's been there forever.
Yeah. Yeah. Well.
But.
No. Are we switching off basketball?
If you want to. We got a couple minutes left.
You're in the big Marvel rewatch. Just finished Thor Ragnarok either this morning or last night. Short-haired Thor or long-haired Thor?
Oh, my Lord.
Oh, short-haired Thor.
Short-haired Thor.
Oh, my Lord.
Eye patch Thor or non-eye patch
Thor?
Oh,
no. Eye patch Thor. Hot one way, hotter the other way. I mean,
look,
let's...
He pulls it off.
Personally,
he pulls it off.
Like thick Thor, and I don't like to use the F word. It's thick Thor.
Chubby Thor.
It's thick. Yeah. Three C's. I like that Thor.
Oh, my
Playing
Lord.
Video games.
So I'll call myself out. Look, yeah, he's a very handsome, very good-looking man.
Yeah.
And when I went to see Endgame the first time, I kept waiting for, like, later in the movie, if he, like, picked up Mjolnir or, like, the other hammer that he made, that it would immediately, like, transform him back into, like, the Thor. So by the end of the movie, I was like, I feel a little bit robbed. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, you're waiting. You're just waiting.
I was waiting for this moment. But after watching it again, knowing that he stayed, and I do appreciate it, because he didn't want to keep doing this Shakespearean version of Thor. And that's what's so great about Ragnarok, is they finally gave him something to work with. And he's incredibly talented and really funny. His comedic timing
actor.
Is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
And so by giving him this extra stuff, and then by him adapting the role the way that he did in Endgame, he delivered it in a new way, and he showed depth of a character that honestly they hadn't given much depth to through the first two Thor movies and even a couple of the Avengers ones. So I thought it was really cool. Like, after I got over the fact of, like, no, okay, you're not going to see his abs, fine.
What?
Then you get this, like, you get this great deliverance of this character.
Wait a minute. What is this? American Movie Classics film review segment? Holy cow.
Get your question
in. Right, here's my question.
Yeah.
Sweatshirt Hive Assemble.
Sweatshirt.
What the heck does that mean?
It's pretty straight. I mean, sweatshorts are exactly what they sound like. They're sweatpants that are short, so they're not as hot. So for summer and spring, like it is now, when you want to be peak comfy but don't want full pants, you go the sweatshorts route.
They
can
be
made. You can be made by, you know, cutting off your own sweatpants
if
that's your
sweet
time.
It.
Or I got a nice pair through Roots, the Canadian clothing company.
Yes,
super comfy, eh?
Hey, okay. Well, I understand that. I thought it was another Marvel movie thing that I had missed.
Oh, the sweatshirt hive? You thought it was a superhero team?
Not yet.
Something. It's coming. Okay. Fat Thor is the leader.
That's phase four.
I feel
phase
better now. Okay. We have more to talk to you about next week. You're our favorite. Bye.
I love you guys. Thanks.
Bye. Caroline Dorney.
I'm Team Sweatshort also.
I'm just saying. All right. That'll do it for us today. Coming up at 8 o'clock, it's the 2009 NFC wildcard game, the Packers versus Arizona. It's a pretty good game.
I think the Packers are going to pull it out.
I don't know.
It could get dicey in the end.
I don't know.
Gotta watch out for Larry Fitzgerald.
I'm going to bet this game. I'm just not sure which way I'm going so far.
Hmm.
All right. We'll see you tomorrow. It's ESPN Sports Radio 1392.5.
The Drive, brought to you by Dan Cummins in Paris and Georgetown.